Amen. Just to be in the house of the Lord. I said a while ago, David said I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Amen. What a blessing to be in God's house. I mentioned a while ago, turn your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew, I apologize. I hadn't done this a long time. Forgot to even put my lapel mic on. But let me say again, I believe God's got great things in store. When we met with all the leadership last Sunday, I shared with them my burden. I believe God laid on my heart for this coming year, and how that Paul said he publicly and from house to house, and he touched lives for Jesus, and God did a wonderful work with him. And I have a burden for our church for this coming year, for growth, that we would grow in the Lord. The Lord said that my house might be filled. You go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I believe God's blessed. I'm blessed. How many of you blessed when you come in here and there's a good crowd like today? Say amen. Amen. Well, this is his house, and he's blessed when we come to the house of the Lord. It's a blessing to one another. It's always a blessing to be in the house of God. And so it's my burden for the coming year, and I hope we'll share this burden. And that is that we will grow spiritually as a church. We've had different themes every year. But this year, Paul shared with that church at Ephesus, not only the gospel, but he also shared the truth of the word of God, that we be profitable to them, help them to grow. And so I want us to grow in the Lord, grow in our faith and love and our commitment to Christ. And the more we do for the Lord, it's spiritual exercise, the stronger we'll come. Becoming the Lord. And I want you to pray. We've got several things I want to emphasize. First of all, these are quick announcements. I'm going to get you out by 12, as close as I can, anyhow. But this coming Wednesday, of course, will be Christmas, and we're going to have one service at 6 o'clock. Now, that's a little early, and some of you have Christmas morning, and some of you have Christmas evening. If you have that with your family, that's fine. I want you to be with your family. But if you can come at 6 o'clock, we'll not have a very long service, but I want us to meet on Christmas Day at 6 o'clock, and we'll have a service in here. We'll have some singing, just share a devotional thought. We'll have time to pray together. And then we'll, of course, have another Sunday, but then on New Year's Eve, we're going to meet on a Tuesday night, and we'll meet at 7 o'clock, no Wednesday night service, but we'll meet at 7 o'clock, and we'll have a New Year's Eve service here at the church. Now, we will not try to go through midnight. We're going to dismiss you, let you go, but we'll probably have an hour or so service on Christmas Eve here on Tuesday night so we can be together. The first Sunday in the new year is going to be back to church, back to Sunday school, Fresh Start Sunday. And some of us have not been as faithful as we ought to have been to Sunday school. And that's where you get the Word of God at. I was talking with Ms. Becky Clifton, and she watches every Sunday, and she enjoys the services. She enjoys the singing, the choir, special music, and the message. And that's her church. She said, I get to go to church every Sunday. But she said, you know what I wish? I wish we could see the Sunday school hour. And so I never had thought about that. And I spoke to Jim about it. I hadn't talked to Joe Barry, the rest of them, but maybe we could work out something that we could do Sunday school on the internet and Facebook and such as that. And her suggestion was we'd alternate from Brother Mitchell's class one Sunday to Barry's class and back and forth. And so I don't know what we might do, but the whole idea is all of January is we want the Word of God to become central. And so if you have in your possession at home family Bibles, I have my mother's Bible. Regina has her mother's Bible, her daddy's Bible, and her grandmother's Bible. And if you have things like that, I would like for us to fill the auditorium, the halls and everything, and you help me, teachers and workers, anybody would, with posters and boards, anything around, emphasize the Word of God. What in the world would we do without a Bible? How precious is this book, and how wonderful it is. And the thing is, we ought to read it. We ought to ruminate it, meditate on it, and then we ought to rehearse it, share it with some others. And so it emphasizes all of January is a new vision of the Word of God. How important is this Word? Oh, listen, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word in this Bible is precious, and I hope that you'll just catch a vision of what God's going to do. And our emphasis will be trying to get folk in the Sunday school, get them to all the ministers of the church, the growth, and then to reach them for Christ and see our church not only grow spiritually, but numerically. It'd be a blessing if this building was filled every Sunday. And I believe to overflowing. And I believe we ought to see that. And Sunday night, Wednesday night, let's pray that God will do that for us this year. And so our burden is a new vision, a 2020 vision for the whole year. And we've got a theme for every month emphasizing something about vision. And so you be a part of that. Amen. We're looking forward to it. Don't forget, tonight we start at 6:30 with the Christmas Spectacular. And it's going to be awesome. Tim and Wendy and Brad, whoever's got everything coordinated tonight. There'll be some fun time in it, some wonderful time, some great worship time. And I know it's going to be a blessing to you. So you come and be with us tonight in the service. Now, I want to read Matthew chapter number 2, a portion of this scripture to us. A few Sundays ago when I came a little bit early and before my doctor said I could, but I hope maybe you were blessed as we looked at the shepherds and the Savior. And now I want us to look at these wise men. Just briefly, I'll not say anything new, but I want to emphasize the truth of the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 2, and look now at verse number 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country in another way. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful singing of the congregation, for the choir. Thank you for Brother Brad and his family. Thank you for his love for you, his love for the church, and Lord, love for Lord, the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Thank you for the gifts that you've given to him to be a blessing to all of us, and God, to bless others as he goes to sing and preach in other places. God, I ask your blessing this morning. Lord, I'm sure glad that Justin's better, and I pray, God, you bless he and Heather and their family. Be with Brother Tim and Wendy and Melanie as they travel for their Christmas to be with their families. Watch over and care for them. And Lord, bless the services tonight. We pray, God, your anointing on it. We pray, our Father, be a time of joy and inspiration. And God, I pray right now for our friends in the internet audience. Lord, they are part of this work, part of this ministry. They are in our hearts. And God, I'm glad that they know that we love them and that this church loves them. Thank you for our guests and visitors this morning. And I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd speak. Our Father, I want to be here as long as you let me be here. But God, there's no guarantee that any of us in this building will ever again be back in this building. And Lord, we need more than anything in the world not to hear a man, but to hear a holy God this morning. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to us in these moments. And God, I pray that you'd challenge our hearts. Give us something that's real, something that'll help us, something that causes us to want to love you and serve you more. And then, God, I pray for men and women, boys and girls, who've never experienced the greatest Christmas gift of all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Lord, my prayer is this morning for every one of these precious children, for teenagers, for young adults, for, Lord, the middle-aged folk, and for the senior saints, that not one in the sound of my voice would die and go to hell, but that every one of them would know the joy of knowing Jesus. Now, God, give you a touch and your power. Lord, I can't express to you my gratitude for saving me and calling me to preach. And Lord, over these years, God, you've touched me so many times, blessed and filled me. And God, I pray once again you'd do that. And God, I want to thank you for physical healing and touch. God, I want to thank you for Jason being here today. And I pray, God, for others, Brother Richard and others who've been out sick, and God, they're back. We do lift before you all of our church family, and ought to be here today. And God, for those who now have loved ones that will not be with them here for Christmas, but they have a great assurance that they are there with you in heaven for Christmas. And I pray, God, that you'd bless them. I pray you'd help them through these days. And God, I ask now that you'd speak to hearts, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no accident or no randomness to the Word of God. I believe that God inspired every word in this Bible. You can trust it from cover to cover. I also believe that God has orchestrated it and arranged it and put it in such a way that we could be blessed and benefited by it. There are so many parts to the puzzles, like a facet of a diamond, and when you tie them all together, they make a beautiful picture. But the beauty of a diamond is that when you look at it today, it's beautiful. But when you look at it 100 years from now, it'll still be beautiful. And the Word of God through all of your life, as it's twisted and turned like a diamond, the facets will catch the light of the work of the Holy Ghost of God, and He'll reveal new truth and new blessing to you as you go through. And so it is with the Christmas story. There are different accounts and different things, just little parts and certain Gospels that you don't pick up in other ones. And then, of course, there are whole Old Testament full of prophecy about them. And we talked last Sunday, a few Sundays ago, about when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and that we believe just outside of Bethlehem, born there where the sacrificial lambs were raised and were birthed, and He was born in that place, laid in a stone manger, place there, but where they placed those lambs that were worthy to be offered in the temple. We kind of gave you a picture a little bit about the magnitude. And I tell you, to go and see Israel, the perspective of it, I mean, to be able to look at it and see, to stand on that temple mount and see how massive that area is. And of course, what's there now is not exactly what it was back in those days. There are stones around that temple that were cut that are 3,000 years old. And there are some 2,000 years old. Herod, that's mentioned here in our story, rebuilt the temple, allowed the Jews and rebuilt it for the Jews that were there. Of course, in 70 AD, it was torn down. But the thought is that there were so many, many sacrifices offered. And yet there's one little verse in the book of Hebrews that points to the reality of what went on there. It said it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. To take away sin. They were offering those sacrifices by faith. Some of them genuinely knew Jehovah God, and they responded to the light they had. But that blood did not take away sin. I believe with all of my heart, my nephew, who has got very active in church and is a student of the Word of God, texted me the other day, was asking me some things, and I simply made this statement, not one person will be in heaven that was not washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. That's Old Testament folk and New Testament folk. They look forward to Calvary. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. No man, meaning no man in any time, can come to me without come to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only Savior, always has been, always will be. He's the only Savior. So when we got to talking about the shepherds, the angels made this announcement. There's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then as you read the story a little later in the book of Luke, he was brought to the temple. And when he was brought to the temple, he was to be dedicated to the Lord and to be go through all the ritual of the law in regard to that after the time of purification of Mary was fulfilled. And there was a man named Simeon in that city. And God would have it in divine providence. God had showed him that he would not die until he saw the Savior. And so he came, God burdened his heart to come, and Mary and Joseph came. And when he came in, the Bible says he took the Lord Jesus Christ and he held him. And he said something like this in the book of Luke, "Lord, let your servant depart now in peace, for now I have seen thy salvation." Now, when you come to this passage of Scripture, we read this morning, there were wise men from the east. Don't have any idea who they were or how many there were. We always say there's three because of the gifts, but that's not necessarily so. If you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 60 and verse number 6, you'll see a Bible prophecy where it says they will come with caravans of camels and they'll come from the east and bring gifts. And so the whole city was in an uproar over these. I don't know that if three guys coming in on camels would have stirred up that much interest, but if a whole caravan came, it would. And they had been studying, and you go, when you go to the book of Daniel and you read Daniel, remember Daniel, he's in captivity there. And the king had a vision. Nobody could interpret the dream. And he brought all of his wise men, his astronomers and all of those things. They were, but they could not give the answer. And here's what Daniel said. He said, "I don't know, but there's a God in heaven who knows." And you know what? He interpreted that dream. And of course, in a process of time, he was elevated and to a place of leadership and prominence. Well, he was in captivity. The Assyrians had came and they took the northern kingdom captive, and then the Babylonian Empire came on the scene and they came in and they conquered the Assyrians and they took the southern tribes into captivity. But then after that, according to Isaiah's prophecy, there rose another kingdom, the Persians. These Persians would have been to the east. And no doubt it was out of that group of people that they came. They had exposure to the Word of God. They knew something about the Bible. They knew something about the stars and science. I don't know exactly what took place. The Bible says it was a star. But they saw him. Not sure how far they traveled or how long they traveled. But there are a lot of Bible scholars who say that Jesus was probably 2 years old when they arrived. And there's no doubt about the fact he's called here a child and they're in a house, not in a manger now. But they come and here's what they said. "We've come to find him and see him who is born to be king of Israel." And so the shepherds came to see the Savior. And Simeon says, "I have seen his salvation." And then the wise men say, "We've seen the sovereign. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords." All the aspects of the ministry of Christ in those narratives are pictured for us in what these people saw in him and how they felt about him. I emphasize this morning just these few thoughts here about these wise men. The wisdom of the wise men. They followed that star. Brother Barry and I were talking during the week, and it seems like yesterday, but it was probably pretty close to over 23 years ago, be here 23 years in February. But as you know, there was a kind of a long process of us actually getting here. And on one of those occasions, I think before we ever moved, I met Brother Barry and we were up at the Stevenson's Barbecue. That's one reason God sent me here, was Stevenson's Barbecue. There wasn't even a Bojangles here then, but God's in it. And I told Barry, I said, "Barry, it seemed like just yesterday that we stood outside of Stevenson's Barbecue and Brother Barry showed me some truth from the Word of God that God had showed him in regard to the Jews, pictured as the shepherds, and the Gentiles as the wise men from the east, and the correlation of the star and the brightness, the light, work of the Holy Spirit of God to make Christ known to us. But when we look at the Scriptures, we understand their wisdom. Number one, they responded to the light they have. You say, Brother Billy, I don't understand all of this book. Can I tell you, I understand what I do understand, but there's so much of it that I have not yet grasped. I'm glad that God's still showing me things. I'm glad God's still helping me. But God said, I've got a whole lot to say to you one time to the disciples. He said, I got a lot of things to share with you, but you're not able to bear it right now. I tell you, if God would reveal all this truth to me and you at one time, it'd blow our brain out. I mean, we just couldn't stand it. In fact, we'll have to have a brand new body one of these days to be able to appreciate all the glory of God and the wisdom of God and the holiness of God. We could not live in His presence if we didn't have a brand new body. That day's coming, though. Thank God for that. But my dear friend, what He does want you to do is to respond in faith. There are so many things about the Bible you say, I don't understand all that. Here's what you need to understand. Number one, they said, there's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior. You need to know He's a Savior. You need to know that you need a Savior, that you cannot save yourself. And the only way to know Christ, know you're saved is to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, Savior, in the thought of many of the Jews, in the word Messiah, was political and social deliverer. They thought He was going to come to be a Savior politically, economically, socially. They thought He was going to reinstate and cause Israel once again to become a world-dominant nation. They saw Him as that kind of Savior. But that's not the Savior that He came to be. His kingdom is without end. The government will be upon His shoulders. One of these days, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. But for me and you, it's pictured in Simeon, where he held Jesus and he said, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Because you see, that Savior that came did not come to redeem you economically, although He blesses. He did not come to redeem you physically necessarily, although He blesses us and He heals all our diseases. But He came to be the Savior. And really what He's doing, He's picturing in the mind of all those Jews who are watching Him, He held Jesus and He said, I see the salvation of the Lord. Their mind goes back to that little spotless lamb that they themselves had just brought, that He is Savior because He sacrificed. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior because He suffered and bled and died for us. I've quoted it thousands of times from this pulpit. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means in our stead, in our place. He died in our place. He was our salvation. My salvation is not a Baptist church membership. It's not baptism. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. He paid my sin debt and He paid your sin debt. And my dear friend, they responded to the light they have, and you have that light, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And that is that Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that He died and that He was buried and He arose again and is alive forevermore. The gospel, you say, I don't understand all about Genesis. Well, I don't know if anybody really does everything about Genesis. But you know this, you know you need to be saved. You know you need to be born again by the grace of God. And I'd encourage you this morning to trust Christ as your personal Savior. They responded to the light they had. And then not only did they respond to the light, but they resorted to the light. They went to the light. I have seen the salvation of the Lord, and He held Him in His hands. He held Him. You say, Brother Billy, I believe the Bible. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But has He come so personal to you that He lives inside your heart and life? They responded to the light, but they were drawn and went to the light. Come unto me, he said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You must come to him. It's a horrible thing to have known about Christ, to have heard it over and over again in Sunday school and Awanas and everywhere else, but you never did trust Christ as your Savior. You never did make it personal. You comprehended, you understood it some, but you never did accept him as your Savior and Lord. These men did. They responded by coming to him. They bowed before him quickly. The three gifts, I've explained it to you before. Your Sunday school teachers explained it to you. There's a little, just a little thought in here that got a hold of my heart many years ago. They've traveled this great distance. I wonder how many times they thought about what will he look like? What can we see? Will we feel anything different about his presence? And they've made adequate preparation. They've traveled perhaps for days, maybe for weeks, and maybe for months. And they've had all the provisions that they needed, and they brought these gifts. But it says that when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In my mind's eye, I see this. They traveled, and when they saw him, the Bible says they came, and when they saw him, they fell down and they worshiped him, and then they go to their gifts. And it says when they'd opened their treasures, plural, this one's got a lot of things. This one's got a lot of things, pearls and diamonds and this and that and the other. When they went in there, they weren't looking for just any gift. Not just something, not some little trinket, not just something that was pretty or something. They gave gifts with purpose. And they gave him the very best they had. And the wisdom of the wise men is this. You need to give him the very best you've got. The Bible said they presented to him gold and frankincense and myrrh. That gold, of course, speaks of deity, God. He's God incarnate human flesh. Frankincense speaks of the minister of a priest. And that's one of the incense. When you read about the tabernacle and they go in at the altar of incense, they offer incense. One of those was frankincense that they would give. It's a priestly thing. It identifies with the priesthood. And then myrrh. Myrrh is a unique thing. It is a medicinal type of herb, but it's also used particularly in the process at death to cover the body. They had a mixture of spices when the women came to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. Myrrh was in that. They'd come to anoint him. Here, these three gifts that they gave out of the best they had speaks of him as being God incarnate in human flesh, as being our great mediator, our high priest, between one mediator between God and man, that's the man Christ Jesus, and then his death, burial, and resurrection. He died to save us, and they presented to him their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and it speaks of who he is and what he did for us. My dear friend, all these little things are real and very important to you, but it's not just a story. It's not just something at the end of this season you pack back up and wrap it up and put it back up and get it out again next December. It's something that ought to change you for the rest of your life. And the principles of these men and what they did ought to follow us, and that is that we respond to the light, we receive the light, we worship the Savior, and we give him our very best. I want you to bow together for a word of prayer. And thank you for being here today. I want you to come back in the evening service tonight. We've got a lot of gifts around our house. You have been so kind to me and Regina. We've gotten cards and gifts and so many things. Great blessing, every one of them. Thank the Lord for it. And for all of those of you who know Christ, you would echo with me the greatest gift you ever received with salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know Him as your Savior and Lord. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you're here this morning, man, woman, boy, girl, or in the media audience, you know about Him. You've seen His star. You've seen the light. But have you come to Him? Jesus wept 2 times in the Bible that's recorded. No doubt He probably wept more than that. But He wept at the tomb of His friend Lazarus when He called him from death back to life. The other time He stood on a hilltop and He overlooked the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible said He wept. And He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how oft would I gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks." And He goes on to say, "But you would not come to Me that you might have life." Would you come to Him this morning? Would you respond in faith to Him this morning? Would you come and trust Him as your personal Savior? If you're in the building or in the internet audience right now, you say, "Brother Billy, how do I receive that gift? After all these years, I can't find any other way to do it." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible said, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe with all your heart that He loved you, that He died for you. You know that you're a sinner. Well, by faith right now, will you do something? Will you call on Him? Will you right now, right where you are, ask Him to come in your heart and save you? If you're in the media audience or here in this building, receive the greatest gift. He came into His own and His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Receive Him now. You receive Him by turning from your sin in repentance and turning to the Savior and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And a believing heart is a crying heart. Call upon Him and He'll save you. I'd like for you to stand with your heads bowed for just a moment. In just a few moments, we're going to take an offering as a happy birthday Jesus offering. I know some of you are prepared to do that. Some of you may not be prepared. You're welcome to give at another service, maybe the last service of this new year, and just designate it for the new building. We'll do that. Ushers, we talked about it. Brad and I talked about 2 or 3 ways, but I think the simplest way might be for our men to come and let's just pass the plates and do it this morning. If you did a birthday card for Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, then we welcome you to leave them here at the front before you leave. We'll make sure that they're posted somewhere. And thank you for doing that. But right now, my challenge to you is this. Will you accept this gift? When I was talking to some of them about going out on the road, I said, you just be positive, be friendly, offer to them. Over the years, we've had very, very few that would not take them. Some of them were diabetics and they didn't want to be tempted, and some of them just didn't want it. Some of them were a little skeptical. They couldn't believe there's anything you can get for nothing. But will you reject Him this morning, the greatest gift of all? If you will, right where you are, you ask Him to come into your heart. And if you trust Him, I believe with all my heart, He'll give you boldness to come forward. In this time of invitation, let me know you trusted Christ. If I can pray with you, help you, I'd be glad to do it. Or Brad or Justin or Tim, anyone, the ladies who'd pray with the ladies and girls. But I'll invite you to this morning. I want to pray first of all again. And then I invite you for just a few moments. Maybe as you get ready for Christmas, Christmas Eve, Tuesday, and Christmas Day on Wednesday, you want to come and thank Him again for His gift to you. But whatever it is, we want to give you a moment. If you want to trust Christ today, you can do it right where you are, but I encourage you to come and let us know publicly that you've trusted Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, the Holy Ghost of God, would do what I cannot do, convict of sin, righteousness, judgment, draw them by the Holy Ghost of God to yourself. And I pray, our Father, they would come to the Savior in Jesus' name. While we have our heads bowed and eyes closed, Brother Brad's just going to sing a verse two of a song. And I invite you to come. If you had a birthday card for Jesus, if you want to come and lay it here around the altar and just thank Him, if you want to just come and bow and thank Him, or if you're here today and you've trust Christ, or you need somebody to help you pray with you, we'd be glad to do that. You come quickly. We'll not keep you long, but you come on right now. If God spoke to your heart, let me invite you to come. While these are coming, you come on, join them, and then we're going to take the offering. Our men are ready to take the offering in just a few moments. But you come on right now. Right now, we're going to do this. I want to give you an opportunity, if you hadn't trusted Him, to trust Him right now. What a joy to right here just before Christmas to experience that greatest of all gift, the Lord Jesus Christ.